number 122. Push this out of the way, Susie says. Now, can you all see me? Hurts to be you. It really does hurt to be you. I understand. I look at it once a day in the mirror. I comb my hair once. After that, you look at whatever the wind does to it. Psalm 122, we're going to read the whole psalm. I always like when I'm reading the psalms, a lot of times there's this little caption ahead of the first verse in the psalms. I always like to read those too. This says a psalm of degrees of David. And then verse 1 starts out with, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. That's an important verse for us in this day and age. Because we are in special times. But let's read the whole psalm. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, they shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sakes, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you that we live in one of the greatest countries that has ever been. And Lord, I pray that you help us to be as Christians, help us to be cognizant of the fact that this country was founded by men that believed you and that trusted you. Help us also as a church to be cognizant of the fact, and help us as individuals, as individual Christians, to be cognizant of the fact that many of the people that are driving the government of this country in this day and age are no longer believers. They've never been believers. They don't know you as Savior. And help us to realize that we need to now more than ever be in prayer. And we also need to now more than ever be on our toes, because at this point in time we could be on the cusp of allowing our grasp at all in this country to go away. Help us to realize that if we as Christians... Help us to realize that if we as Christians do not lift you up before those that we know, and that we don't live our own lives as if you are a better God than anything out there, and you are God, so you are better than anything out there. Help us to live our lives so that the rest of the world sees you in us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We are presently in a situation that calls for us to be apart. Most of the members of Seneca Bible Baptist Church are scattered all over Seneca County and a few on the outside of the county, but most everybody is scattered right now. You're watching from your laptop or your TV or your telephone. Each of us as church members and Christians are responsible for how we affect our individual families. As such, we need to be careful. Actually, I didn't finish the statement. How we affect our individual families, our church family, and those with whom we work, as well as those others who are in the world and that see us living our lives. And as such, we're responsible not to do harm to others and to be a good example at the same time. If you will, turn to the book of Titus, chapter 3. We are juggling something that's very unusual in this day and age. We're juggling the coronavirus. We're trying to figure out how to handle that. And our governmental authorities are trying to figure that out. And I think to some extent they have some good ideas. And I think to some extent they have some bad ideas. Don't get into an argument around this message over that, because that's not what I'm trying to do. I'm not trying to be Heathcliff and get in the middle, start a fight, and then stand back and watch everybody else fight. I'm not looking to do that, although that does sound a lot better than actually being involved in the fight. But the fact is, what I'm really trying to the point I'm trying to bring is, we're juggling how much do I interact with other people, and what risk does that bring to me and or my family? Listen, if you're the breadwinner, you don't have the right to let yourself get sick. And as a child, as a younger person than my parents, I don't have any right to be taking the disease to them, getting it myself. Maybe it doesn't bother me at all, but it might kill someone else in my family. And at the same time, we have a responsibility to be a good example to the people that are looking at us here. One of the reasons that we have everybody dispersed today, and one of the reasons that we went to the split services on Sunday mornings, was so that we could keep our group size down, so that we aren't a bad testimony to those in our locality. We want to be a good example. Look at Titus chapter 3, if you will. In Titus chapter 3, in verse 1, Paul says to Titus, "Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work." Now, I believe that what we are doing right now and what churches across this land are doing is we are trying to accommodate our government for a short period of time because they believe it's going to be a short period of time. Hopefully by, what did the president say, by Easter? Yeah. Everything's back to running normal.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be cool?
That'd be awesome.
I mean, this is a guy who's looking and saying, you know, our churches need to be in church.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't give a date like Good Friday. He gave a church. He gave Easter. Okay? He wasn't talking about some other day or some other day of the month. He wants us to be up and running by the middle of next month. And that's only a couple of weeks away. Lord, let it happen. We need to return to normalcy. But in the meantime, and at the present, we have been asked by our governmental leaders not to meet in large groups, which has many churches, including our own, streaming our services online. Some are recording them, as we're doing here as well. And Suzanne, I used your right name. She doesn't want anyone to know her name is Susie. In fact, if you call her Susie, you'll get punched, and I might later now. But the fact is, Suzanne posts these after she records them and posts them later. So now I've embarrassed her, this one won't make it online. I can guarantee that if you want to see it, you're watching it now. But Paul reminds us in Titus that we are to be respectful of worldly authorities. And I believe this means we need to be obedient to them. This is important because we are examples to everybody that I listed above. Our family, our church, and those that don't know the Lord. And they don't need to see us being rebellious. The last thing the world needs is to see rebellion in the Christian. They don't need to see rebellion out of us. Now, the explanation that is given to us is that we do not want to transmit the present disease to one another. And that is a pretty convincing argument to make their case. I certainly don't want to be sick, and I don't want to pass any illness on that I might get on to others. And so this makes very good sense. But one of the things we need to be careful of is, you know, the government is doing this. And this is a mindset we have to be careful of. The government has this mindset that we're doing this for your own good. And we learn to hear things like that. We are an easily trained people. I might speak about that in a few minutes, but we are an easily trained people. We get used to some things and we do it. We just accept that that's the way it's going to be. And that could be used as a buzzword phrase. We're doing this for your own good. This could be used as a buzzword phrase to train us into thinking that whatever someone tells us is the truth. Now, if you've got a godly government, you can probably trust what they have to say. But if you've got an ungodly government, and they think it's okay to lie, like they've allowed our public schools to teach, you know, if it doesn't hurt anybody, it's okay to lie. And then they kind of smear that definition of what hurts anybody, which usually means they get more power. We even teach in our churches that you're to open your Bible. And whoever's watching this right now, if you're not a member of Seneca Bible Baptist Church and you're a member of another good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church, your pastor probably preaches this book and he probably tells you the same thing. Our pastor tells us the same thing. Open this book and check me out. Because any man who can open the book and say, I know it's so, and can't show you a verse, he's gonna cause you trouble. Now, I'm going to give you some opinion here in a few minutes, but I'm going to tell you that's my opinion. You can take it for what it's worth when that time comes. But you know, you and I need to be vigilant, because this could come down to some day where some government authority, and this happens in Canada, they think that Bible preaching is bad for people. And churches are told they're not allowed to preach against certain lifestyles. Without getting into specifics, I don't have to say a whole lot more. And when they preach against that kind of sin, they can lose their ability to have a church. Don't think that can't happen here. Don't think that can happen here. It can happen here, because all that has to happen with our laws is for somebody to ignore them. People ignore laws all the time. Because of this kind of thinking, you and I need to be vigilant, ensuring that those that we elect to offices of authority do not overstep their bounds. In other words, in the future, telling us that we can't meet because our theology is hurtful. You know, there's a statue in Washington, D.C. on the right side of the right main entrance of the National Archives of the United States. And it bears the inscription, Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty. You and I have to stay on our toes. Now, you might be thinking, is this going to go into an anti-government rant? No, it's not. It's not going to go into anything like that. But you and I need to be vigilant, as this would be the best way, separating us. Think about this. Separating us would be the best way to hurt Christianity. Right. Now, let me ask you a question. Who would want to hurt Bible Christianity? Yeah. What one person would want to hurt Bible Christianity? Right. Satan. Right. Look over at 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. I did open in prayer, right? Okay, because I'm about to hit the ground running. And this message might turn out to be shorter than our song. Well, no, I guess that wouldn't be. I've already taken more than that much time. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary the devil as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." The best way to ruin a Christian, best way to ruin any enemy, and to Satan, we're the enemy, is to divide and conquer. But as much as we might worry about our government, there is a silent lion that's sneaking up on us. And it has been sneaking up for years. You see, some of the people that aren't here tonight weren't here 2 weeks ago. And take this and put this in the context of your own church. There are some people that aren't here tonight at Seneca Bible Baptist Church. Put your own church name in there, that weren't in church a month ago. They weren't in church 5 weeks ago or 6 weeks ago or 7 weeks ago. They may not have darkened the door in the church in months or even years. You see, that silent lion is apathy.
Right. Yeah.
Now, one of the ways we guard against apathy is we come together. I'll talk about that later. But technology, and I want to bring this back to the technology. Right now, you're seeing me online either sometime later than I'm actually preaching this. And if you're seeing that, I'm probably asleep by now. But if you're watching this live, technology can be used for great things. It can be used for things like this. This is okay. This should not be a substitute for church. This is temporary. Technology can be used for great things such as prayer chains. one church that we know uses phone lists and several people to make calls when a member gets sick or is in the hospital for one reason or another. We've gotten two calls from this one church. One time, one guy called me to tell me that a family member, a distant family member of somebody in the church, somebody that lived all the way down in our Tennessee, had been killed in a motorcycle accident. And they were asking that everybody pray for this young family. And then turned around 3 weeks later, I get another call from one of the other guys in the church, and the guy that called me the first time, he was in the hospital. So, you know, they use this prayer chain. That's a good thing to do. We get texts. We get texts in a hurry. Usually I'll get a call. Sometimes I get a call. Sometimes I get a text. Sometimes other online programs such as Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, those can be used as well for this type of purpose. And that is a good thing. Communication is not a bad thing. While it is good to use technology in such situations, and even in our present situation, reliance on this technology for long periods of time just may tend to make us weak as Christians. The question then becomes, how do we retain our strength? Well, first of all, let's understand how we lose our strength. Understanding a physical principle will help us to understand the spiritual reality. Now, to think of this in physical things, things that we can see. When each of us does certain things in our lives, you may have some kind of a physical job where you do certain things all the time. I am a desk warrior. I have ridden a desk for 20 years, which means the only muscle I've got is around the middle. But when I started working for the company I work for now, I started out on the shop floor and they gave me this machine that they had just built. And they said, we want you to do two things. I said, what's that? They said, we want you to load it and unload it. I said, load it and unload it? That doesn't sound like it takes much smarts. They looked at me and they said, well, I like that machine. It didn't require a lot of thinking. All it required was me to run. And sometimes they put through these little bitty skinny bars and I'd load that bar and I'd set it and then I'd hit two buttons. And then I'd get another bar. And as soon as that bar went through, I put another bar in. And I hit those two buttons and now my work got complicated because I had to walk over to the other side, take that other piece of steel and put it on a stack. In doing that, they started out with these skinny bars and I said, I like this job. It's not real hard. The next week they put through bars that were a half inch thick and 4 inches wide. And 3 feet long, they weighed 40 pounds apiece. I was putting on a 40-pound bar, put it in the machine, start the machine, walk over here, unload another 40-pound bar, do that several hundred times in a day, and do you know what you do? You build muscles. I drove school bus at the time. This was a summer job, so in between 1 year and the next, I worked this job. When I got on a bus in the fall, I had the same run, so I had the same group of kids. And one of my teenage boys says, Rich, you've been working out? And I said, no, why? I didn't think anything of it. He said, man, he says, you ain't got no neck anymore. Oh, sorry about that. I was chunky. Took years for me to get rid of that muscle, didn't it, babe? She's laughing. Yep. When a person uses a particular muscle group on a regular basis, that muscle group will become strong and it will retain its strength. It will be, generally speaking, dependable, and the person will be able to do what they do without thinking. I told you it wasn't a very smart job. Load it, hit the button, unload it. Load it, hit the button. It's all it took. And I didn't have to think real hard, so you know what I did? I started playing with numbers. I started saying, now how can I make this machine go faster so I can get my numbers? That's the only thing I could think about. I'd come home and say, my numbers were really up today, Mary. Do you think of anything else? I said, there's nothing else to think of. I'm loading and unloading bars and hitting two buttons. And as long as I did that job, I didn't lose any strength. But if the person stops doing the thing that makes that muscle group work, all of my neck, you can see, has now gone down into my middle. That muscle group becomes weak. A lot of times it's called atrophy. Now, applying that to our present situation, by now everyone in this room and everybody watching, now or later, has realized that in some ways we have cut ties with the following things. By the way, the first three could also apply to work or school. If you've been laid off or you have to even work at home, you can find out that certain things you start to lag on. First of all, the maintenance schedule. Now, by the maintenance schedule, I'm not talking about tuning up your car or anything else. I'm talking about your personal maintenance. I sleep 45 feet from where I work. In between that is a full service kitchen. And the refrigerator is only 12 feet away. I didn't measure it, I estimated that. But the fact is, I could, if I wanted to, get up and walk right by the bathroom, walk right by the kitchen, sit down to my computer, fire it up, and sit there in my pajamas and work. There's no maintenance needed. If I went that way to work, they would send me home. If I came that way to church, you'd send me home. So the maintenance schedule can kind of get kind of lax. The work or school schedule and the church schedule is also lax because everything's different. We're kind of holed up right now. And you know, here's another thing that can get kind of lax is the dress code. I mentioned going to work in my pajamas. Okay, I can sit down at my computer. No one's going to get offended. Nobody has to look at me except her on her way. She has to still go to work. She has to still go somewhere. She has to get all gussied up 4 days, 3 days a week now. 3 days a week now, besides church. So the dress code can start to lag. But you know, and that's true of church. Because we're not going to church. You know, your singing can kind of lag too. You say, well, I don't need to really participate in the song service. Why don't you think about this? You know, one of the things that happens when we come to church is we're around other people. So, you know, we want to get cleaned up because we don't want to smell funny. You want to get looking nice because you don't want people coming in and saying, whoa, look at, he didn't do his hair. My hair does some weird things before I get started in the morning. It just does some weird things. And you want to dress up. Man, you know, listen, can I say something, Christians? I'm going to say it anyways. No, I'm not going to say it yet. Here's another thing that can get lax. You know, you kind of get to where you don't sing the songs. I'm going to say all this stuff again. I'm going to review all of this, but I'm going to kind of put another spin on it. Your singing can get lax. You know, your giving can get lax. Well, I didn't go to church this week, so I'm not going to tithe this week. Your attention to the message, your focus can start to atrophy. It can start to get weak. Yeah. Your desire to be in touch with God and His people. You know, absence, sometimes they say absence will make the heart grow fonder, but it can also do the opposite and make the heart to wander. And hey, when you're sitting there in front of your TV watching YouTube, and I get done preaching, and you scroll right over to your favorite television show, are you going to remember anything that was said? I mean, I'm not funny. I'm not exciting. I'm not good looking. So all of those things are off the table. So unless you hear something from God's Word and stop and listen to it, you're going to be gone as soon as I'm gone. So the next question to ask is this. What do I do to keep up my strength in these areas? Do all of the things that you would normally do on a church service day. I mentioned a moment ago, get up and get ready for church as if you were going. Even get up at the same... You say, well, I need 20 minutes to get to church. You can spend 20 extra minutes praying for the pastor before he preaches.
Right.
You can still be ready on time. Be ready on time for the service. You say, why? Because you are practicing for when church is back in.
Right.
Susie,
right.
Am I still in the camera?
Yes.
Am I still in the camera?
Yes.
Okay, I can move a little bit. Good. Because I'm getting nervous here. I'm getting all kind of pent-up energy. But you can get up and get ready for the church service just as if you're going. I was talking to the guys this morning. And I said, I actually sat down in my church clothes, minus the tie and the coat, to sit down and prepare a message last night. I'll give you a little more on that in a moment. Be ready for the church services on time. Why? Because we're practicing for when we can be back here. And you should be back here. We want you back here. We want every seat in this place full. We want it full on Sunday morning. We want it so full the pastor says, wow, we got to do two services. And everybody's going, wow. And then half the church come early, early, early in the morning. Then we do Sunday school. And then we'll do another church service. Man, that's going to be so cool. And then we'll build a nice big new building. And then we'll get so big that we have to start another church. And have three or four churches in the area winning souls. But that we need all of us to be here. We need all of you to be here. And you say, well, I'm not a member of Seneca. Put yourself in your own church. Get there. Be ready on time. Dress up. Don't come in your pajamas. I learned something years ago. I was telling the guys, years ago, I heard Paul Harvey say this. Now, this Paul Harvey was one of the most famous newsmen of all time. There's very few men that have been more famous than him and well-loved. To my knowledge, he was well-loved by everybody except in his early days. He was an investigative reporter and he got himself into a little trouble from time to time. But other than that, he was a great reporter. And he did news and commentary every day. But he would do that news and commentary. We would hear it at noon in Syracuse, but it would be he would record it early in the day. They say that he used to show up at the radio studio at 4:45 in the morning. There is a 4:45 in the morning. It's a nice time because nobody else wants to be there. It's quiet. But after years and years and years and years and years, he had acquired himself a ranch. And he built himself a nice ranch and a house on it. And he built a studio in that ranch. And he started recording his messages at his studio in the ranch. And he would still get up early in the morning, but you know what he did? He went to work in his pajamas. And he said after, I think it was just a week or so, he realized after listening to the playback of one of his news and commentaries, he says, you know, the work just doesn't sound right. And so he got up in the morning and he did his usual routine and took his shower and brushed his teeth and combed his hair, put on a suit to go to work in his own studio. And he said the level of work came right back up. Think about this. What if our level of worship for the Lord is affected by how we dress? So put on a coat and tie, even if you're home, and dress up. I was telling the guys, I took that principle last night and I sat down to write a message, to start writing, and I put on a button-down shirt. Now, I didn't have coat or tie on, but I had my good shoes, I had my trousers, I had a good shirt on, and I was ready to study, like I was studying for the ministry. That changes things. It does. So dress up. Don't come in your pajamas. And you say, well, we're not coming to church. Don't worry. Do it anyways. Make it special. Make it a special time. Sing the songs as best you can. We're only doing a couple of songs, but sing the songs as best you can. If you have a hymn book, put it to work. Put it to work. You say, well, what if the words aren't all the same or we got a different number of verses? Just sing it anyways. God loves it when we sing. Two of my favorite singers, I would never, ever, ever put in a choir. I would never ask them to sing specials. And yet they blessed my soul more than all of the choirs that I've ever had. And that was Polly Majeski and Martha Wojtyluski. And believe it or not, Polly was not Polish. She was Italian. But the fact is, those two ladies, when they sang, it came from here. It came from their heart. It came from their love of the Lord. And when they sang, the best soprano, best quartet in the world. I love quartet music. Best quartet in the world. Best choir. I've had some real great choirs. None of them could put a match to what these ladies when they sang. Why? Because it came from their hearts. They were so joyful to be saved. So sing the songs as best you can. Sing with all of your heart. Make sure, here's another thing, you don't want to get weak as a Christian. Make sure you maintain your giving to the church. Now, this might be difficult depending on your work situation. I understand that. And I think God understands that too. But make sure you tithe. Always make sure you tithe. And when possible, give above a tithe. You see, God always blesses this. He always blesses this. When the children of Israel went into the land of promise, there are 10 cities named that they took in the initial battles. Do you know that the first of those 10, all of the wealth was supposed to go to God? All the gold, all the silver, anything of any value was supposed to go to God. You say, why? Because God wants you to understand that keeping Him first, giving Him the first tenth, is also about keeping Him first in your life. Make sure you maintain your giving. God always blesses this even when we don't see that blessing. Then get rid of all distractions where you view the message. Also, try to get the mindset that you're not watching TV. Listen, right now, sitting at home, there are people where Dad is propped back in his recliner, sitting there enjoying. He's not now, because all the kids are looking at him and saying, ah, Daddy's getting you. Kids, guess what? You're laying on the floor with your pillows and Mom's propped up on the couch. I know how it goes. And there's probably some other variation on this, and I'm not picking on you. But you're not watching TV. You're not watching TV. Don't get the idea that you're watching TV. Pay attention to the message as it is preached. And I'm not talking even so much this message. Paul had a great message this morning. And the other messages that we've been hearing. Try to figure out what God is trying to tell you. Because there's none of you are perfect. None of you are totally right with God. You say, I think I'm totally right with God. Well, you know, at the moment, God may have got you to where He thinks He can get you, or where He knows He can get you, but He's got other plans for you. He's got better plans for you. He's got changes He wants to make in your life. He is trying to tell each one of us something, and if we are listening, we'll get that. Look forward to the next opportunity to get to church. Now that's all the physical things, and then there's this, and it's kind of working over into the spiritual, but listen, maintain, while you are not here, while you are not in your church home, maintain the direct spiritual connection with God. Because each individual should have this connection, but he needs to exercise it. You need to read your Bible. You say, oh, you preach that all the time. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. I know I preach it all the time, but you need to hear it all the time. You say, well, I'm doing it all the time. Good, keep doing it. I'm going to buttress that. You say, well, I don't think I should have to read as much as you say. Well, you know, just get with God and find out what He wants you to do. Hebrews chapter 4. I went to Hebrews chapter 12. That's because I'm going to look at verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. I did the same thing you did this morning, Paul. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. For the Word of God is quick. That's living. You see, God's Word can get through to you when no one else can. Think about this. If you are reading this book, you may be nowhere near where any preacher's preaching, but you might be reading something and God may reach out and grab you by the tie and say, this is what I want you to change. Right. Change it. Amen. Let God talk to you. For the Word of God is quick, it's living, it's powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow. And listen to this, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Listen, that goes deeper than what everybody sees. You may say all the right things, but your thoughts and your intents may be wicked. And if you let God ring your bell, you'll figure that out. Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Did I blow it out? Psalm 119. That's all right. Psalm 119 in verse 7. Psalm 119 in verse 7. It says, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. Let this book judge you. Let it judge you and let it judge your works. Go over to 139. Psalm 139. Psalm 139 in verse 1 says, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. We just saw that in the other verses. But look down to verse 23. It says, Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. There it is again, my thoughts. Let it judge your thoughts and your motives. Verse 24 says, See, and see if there be any wicked way in me. This is a man of God. This is David. He's singing this song. He's written this song. But see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Read your Bible. And then study your Bible. Look at Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. I don't remember if Paul mentioned this today or if it was pastor on Wednesday night. I think it was pastor on Wednesday night. Acts chapter 17 verse 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word of God, the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Listen folks, you and I are to be searching the scriptures daily. If these unsaved Jews who were seeking the truth, and they came, verse 12 says, therefore many of them believed. Listen, one of the reasons our believer is busted as Christians is because we aren't searching the scriptures daily. We need to be in this book. You need this book. It is your food. You need to pray. Get a list or make a list and work it. We have a prayer list here. Listen, everybody in this church needs to be prayed for. We took that advice and Pastor split that up. The names of everybody in this church are on one of 6 days, Monday through Saturday. Take that list, whatever day your name is on, you put that and you make that your Monday. You say, why do you do that? Because if everybody makes their name day their Monday, then everybody's praying for somebody else on a different day. Somebody else is praying for you every day. We'll put it that way. Make a list. If you don't have a list and you can't get a copy of this list or you don't go to this church, get a list. Make a list if you have to and work it. You say, what is that like? It's like you're reading your Bible. You read through your Bible. When you get done reading through your Bible, you go back to Genesis 1-1 and you read it through to Revelation 22. When you get all done, you start over and read it again. Why? Because that's what we're supposed to do. Same thing's true with your prayer list. You say, well, what if my prayer list gets too big? Keep working it like you work your Bible reading. If you can't get it all done at once, God understands that. Now here's the thing, folks, and this is what we need to know. You and I need to be prepared in heart to get back into church. As soon as we can open the doors again and as soon as we can get things back to normal, we need to be back in church. You know, worshiping God is not meant to be convenient. Right now, honestly, online is very convenient for a lot of people. But we can get lazy in that convenience. When God set up the tabernacle worship, and later the temple worship, The people of Israel were to go to one place. That was the temple or the tabernacle, whichever was being used at the time. That meant that wherever they chose to live or wherever their inheritance was, they were still going to go to that one place to worship. Now, during the dispersion that followed the Assyrian and Babylonian captivities, synagogues were formed where Jews would go and meet together as one. And that's where the idea of our church comes from. We come together as one. We come together as one. We need to be prepared. We need to be on our spiritual toes, because when we get back here and we're going strong again, we need to do more than just show up for church. We need to be out there rattling some doors. Yeah. Not kicking them down. You don't want to offend people, but you want to knock on people's doors and invite them to church. You want to knock on doors and witness to them and invite them to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We need each other for that. Look at Hebrews chapter 10 and I'm done. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23 says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised." Listen, folks, you and I need to stay strong. And when we are not in this building, when we are not together, we still need to stay strong. The only way we're going to do that is to stay close to God. And then we need to look forward to being here just as quickly as we can be. Look at verse 24. It says, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." That's why we come here. That's so that we can provoke one another to love and to good works. Amen. And then verse 25, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is." Do you know that's happening today too? There's some that may very well be watching today. And if you're watching and you aren't coming to church or you haven't been to church in 6 weeks or 6 months or 6 years. Okay, well, shame on you. But you need to be here because you're forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And it says, "as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Listen, listen, the Lord may come back tonight. You don't have any chance to recover if you've been laying out of church, if the Lord comes back tonight. But you know, if He waits 6 months, and we're back in church in two weeks, be here. Because then you can recover. You can recover your reputation. You can recover your reputation with God. You can become a faithful servant again. As soon as the doors are open, make sure you're here. Make sure you're on time. Make sure you're ready to hear from God. And make sure you're ready to serve Him with all of your being. You know, service, worship, was never intended to be without cost. If worship was easy, everybody would worship God. But it starts with yourself. It starts with yourself. And it starts with being here as soon as we can reopen these doors. Father, thank You for Your love and mercy. Thank You for the many blessings that You've given to us. And Lord, we pray that You'll help us to get through, help our country to get through this sickness. And then, Lord, we pray that You'll help this country to start to have a resurgence, a returning to You. Lord, not just a quick 2 or 3 weeks like it was back in 2001, but Lord, a real serious revival where people seriously come to You and seek to have their lives changed by the only One who can truly change a life. We ask this in Jesus' name. Brother Paul.